Okay, so just leave your picture, your thumb there, and we'll look at that in a minute. Again, like I said, we're going to start a series this morning, just three-part series called Living with the End in Mind. And what is the perspective that we have? In Revelation, the book we're going to be looking at in just a minute, a couple of verses from there, we read John's vision of heaven. We might call it a near-death experience, but that wasn't it. God brought John to heaven. He writes it, so he brought John to heaven. He gave him a picture, and he got to see what heaven looks like. And John, I think, in Revelation, tries to put the indescribable into words. He tries to take what he saw and put it into words that won't do it justice. I just got done reading the book Imagine Heaven by John Burke. John Burke's a pastor. He decided he wanted to take a look at near-death experiences and measure them, what we're told in Scripture. And he said, the point is, the Bible is the authority, and we measure these stories against them, not the other way around. We don't just believe stories because, you know, people said them. We have to measure them against Scripture. Scripture, of course, is the authority. We measure them. But amazingly, a lot of these things that people say they saw line up with what we see in Scripture. In Scripture, in Revelation, John says he saw this massive city, a river of living water flowing through it, a city with walls that have 12 different stones. And it was interesting looking at some of these stories and saying, yeah, this is what these people described. John writes this in Revelation. It's not even close to what we can imagine. As I'm getting older, you know, 47, I'm really old, huh? Some of you are thinking, yeah, right, at 47, you're not that old. But in reality, whether we're 47, 87, or 7, as Psalm 39, verse 11 says, our life is but a breath. So whether you've seen 87 years, 47 years, or 7 years, life on this earth is but a breath. It's just passing in compared to eternity. It's just passing in compared to what really matters. When we get to the end of our lives, whenever that may be, we don't know. When we get to the end, have we lived our lives with eternity in mind? Revelation 20, 11 through 15, take a look at that with me. This is John writing. He says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence. There was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name is not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So here we have John showing this vision, this picture of what is to come. He describes them as there's books there, literal books. The first is the book of life. The book of life lists those who believe. We see that in Scripture, throughout Scripture, Philippians 4, verse 3. Now, remember, Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote 2 Corinthians, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, 2, that he went into the third heaven, and he says, I know somebody who went into the third heaven, but I'm not exactly sure where I was. So we know that it was him. He doesn't know if it was a vision or whether it was in person, but we know from that Paul had a picture of heaven as well. He writes in Philippians 4:3, says, yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Or Revelation chapter 3, the one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Revelation 21, 27 says, nothing impure will enter it, that is heaven, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a book. John saw a literal book with names in it called the Book of Life. There's a second book, or books, that are open. John says the great and small, doesn't matter if you're great or you're small, everybody's listed in that, whether you're the beggar in Calcutta that was ministered to by Mother Teresa, or the leader of a nation. There's books that are open listing your life, good deeds and bad deeds, matter-of-factly. We look at this. Psalm 139:16 says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So imagine that. Good Lord willing that I have grandchildren, that my grandchildren's names are written in that book even before they're born. Phenomenal. Before I was born, the whole thing was written. This day was written in that book. Malachi 3:16 says, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. Hebrews 4, verse 13. There is no creature hidden from his sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we have to give an account. And in Jesus' own words, nothing is secret that shall not be revealed, neither anything hidden that shall not be made known and come to light. So we have a picture from Revelation when we get to heaven, when we get to judgment. There's these two books, the one that's got our name in it and the one that's got the listing of everything we have done. Which gives us two questions to ask ourselves. The first question we get to heaven is, we're going to be asked, is what did you do with Jesus? The first question will be asked, what did you do with Jesus? It's not, God's not going to ask you, what did you do with the church's teachings, or what did you do with religion, or did you understand theology, or did you get your beliefs right? The reality is, we're not going to get it completely right. Our God is far too great to fully figure out. Our God is far too large that even throughout eternity, we're not going to be figuring him out. We will always be in awe and wonder of his glory. The question that God's not going to ask you is, did you live up to expectations of other people and how you lived your faith? Did you live up to the religious trends of the day? Did you have it figured out? The reality is, again, that all of us struggle. All of us struggle with our faith. All of us struggle with priorities. All of us struggle with sin and temptation. All of us struggle with putting our trust in God. All of us struggle with something. But that's not the question. The question is, what did you do with Jesus? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus and the forgiveness of your sins? Some people want to dispute that and argue it, say it doesn't sound very inviting. But Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How else are our sins going to be paid for? Jesus' own words affirm and confirm this, that no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus' words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's not our parents' faith that saves us. It's our decision. Whether we're 47, 87, or 7. Do you put your faith in Jesus Christ? It's not about being good. Some people think, well, I'm good enough. I'm doing enough. My good outweighs my bad. Well, Scripture very clearly says that is not the case. James 2, verse 10 says, whoever keeps the whole law, the whole thing, and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Okay, so maybe we're just really good, but, you know, I only thought about sin. Proverbs 24:9 says, the schemes of folly are sin. Even the thought of sin is sin. None of us can stand before a holy God and say, I'm pretty good. Job 15:14-16 says, what are mortals that they could be pure, or those born of a woman that they could be righteous? If God places no trust in his holy ones, and even the heavens are not pure in his eyes, how much less more are mortals who are vile and corrupt, who drink up evil like water? Thank God our salvation is not based on us, not based on being good enough. Thank God it's all based on Jesus. What do you do with Jesus? That's the first question. What did you do with the gift that Jesus offered? Did you accept it or did you reject it? The absolute worst thing for anybody in all of eternity is when they get to heaven and their name is not written in the book of life. Maybe they think it is. Maybe they say, Jesus, look again, it's there. Be tragic if Jesus said, it isn't there because you chose to push me away. You chose only to go through the motions. You chose only to live life on your own. You chose to figure it out yourself. You chose to make life apart from me. You said you weren't interested. The most important question that you will answer in your eternal life is, what did you do with Jesus? The second question will be, what did you do with your life? So the first book is the book of life. The second book is a book of record. The other book has the deeds of your life written down, and it will be recounted. That is a really scary thought, by the way. Scripture makes it clear, Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Matthew 12:36, the words of Jesus. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things we have done in the body, whether good or bad. Romans 14:10-12. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you treat them with contempt? For we all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me and every tongue acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. The word here in Romans 14:10 of judgment is the same word that was used for the judge's seat in the ancient Olympic Games. The word is bima, a bima seat. There's a place where the judges would award the gold or silver medals, a crown in their day for a race well run. The reality is we don't earn God's love and acceptance and redemption. That is a free gift. But how we live our life is important. Paul uses the analogy of a building in 1 Corinthians 3:8-15. He says, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Look what Paul says. The one who plants and the one who waters has purpose. It doesn't matter what God's called you to do or what I've called me to do. We're going to be rewarded for what God's called us to. He continues, verse 10. He says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. Someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. So regardless of what God calls us to, regardless of where he's placed us, we need to work with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. Notice Paul shows the vast difference between using gold to build or straw to build. I mean, even in Paul's day, there's a huge difference between gold and straw. If what building built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though as one escaping through the flames. What are you doing with what God's given to you? Are you building with gold? Or are you haphazardly saying, whatever, I'm good? There's a reward that's coming. Isaiah 62:11 says, see, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him. Matthew 16:27 says, the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. How we live our lives matters to God. How we live matters for eternity. We'll be looking at that in a few weeks, looking at heaven's reward. Our salvation is not dependent upon it, but our reward is. How you treat the least of these, the poor, the outcast, the homeless, the widow, the orphan. How you persevere in suffering. How you handle your finances, whether being generous and wise, that matters. How you follow God in faith matters. How you build into others matter. How you seek God matters. Your attitudes matter. Your heart matters. Is your life for your own glory, or is it lived for the glory of God? Do you live for your own ego, wanting it stroked and people telling you what a great person you are, or do you strive to love? All of it will be laid out in the end. Now, this could scare you to death, or it could motivate you. It could motivate me. Remember, our salvation is not up for grabs. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But the motivation is that we'll be rewarded for a life that we're living here. So what are you doing today that has an eternal perspective? What are we building for eternity? Is it out of gold or hay and stubble? The other day, Cindy was reading an article and she was telling me about it, about some of her favorite, you know, some of the favorite child actors, stars, where are they now? You know, you've seen those articles. And one of them said, this person has social media influence with 3 million followers. They've arrived. Is that gold or is that hay and stubble? From an eternal perspective, what good would that be? Unless they're using it to make an eternal difference for God's glory, will they be ashamed of it in the end? When we look at those who have strived all their life for something, whether it's money, status, being right all the time, every relationship has suffered because of it, how will they respond with the question, what did you do with your life? An eternal perspective is something we don't often have. We don't necessarily have it in the forefront of our mind every day. But it's something that makes all the difference in our lives. Jesus says in Matthew 6:20, says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. The reality here, as this here, is not the full reality. We were created for eternity. And what you do here makes all the difference forever and ever. When you go before God at the end of your life, you'll be asked two questions. What did you do with Jesus? And what did you do with your life? Your answers make an eternal difference. Let's pray. God, this morning we're reminded that our life here on earth is so very short. We get wrapped up in it, but God, on the grand scale of eternity, it is but a mere breath. God, help us to live with that realization in mind. Help us, God, to put our faith in Jesus as the one who paid the price. I want you to think for a moment, just to pause here in the prayer. I want you to think for a moment. Have you put your faith in Jesus' outstretched arms for your salvation? Are you trying to earn it yourself? Maybe you haven't thought about it. Jesus invites you this morning to put your faith in him for your salvation. Stop trusting yourself, to stop striving, to stop trying earning it. Jesus said many times to people here on earth to put their faith in him. Have you? If you haven't, pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I want to stop trying to earn my salvation. I need to stop thinking that I'm good enough to do it. Jesus, I put my hope in you for eternity. I put my hope in you for salvation. Please forgive me of my sin so that I know I will be with you for eternity. Accept that salvation today because time is so very short. And Father, help us to live our life here with an eternal perspective. That the things we do today make a difference in eternity. God, help us to live with the end in mind. May that change our focus in how we live, that you might be glorified, and that we might receive the reward that you promise in heaven. God, may we live our lives with eternity in mind. Amen.